think when we hear the, when we think of the time of Chodesh Elul, so for many of us, our immediate association, if of Sephardic descent and lineage, is the minhag that the Mechaber records, that Sephardim say slichos throughout Chodesh Elul. Of Ashkenazi descent and lineage, the minhag to blow shofar throughout Chodesh Elul, the recitation of the capital of L'David Hashem Ori. We think of Elul in terms of certain hanhogas, certain practices which are implemented throughout that period. There's something very, very instructive, remarkably so, if one looks in the Rambam Sechos Tshuva. The Rambam Sechos Tshuva is basically our Shulchan Aruch on Hilchos Tshuva. There isn't really Hilchos Tshuva in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam Sechos Tshuva is the Shulchan Aruch on Tshuva. It's very instructive to look, to see what the Rambam tells us about Elul. So if one will search, turn pages in the Rambam Sechos Tshuva, so one finds special behaviors, special hanhogas for Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The Rambam speaks of being marbe b'tzdaku b'maisim tovim, about the increasing the amount of tzedakah one gives, about increasing the level of mitzvahs that a person's involved in. May Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim yasim mikol Hashanah. A certain intensification. He talks about the minig of slichas, but only in conjunction. The Rambam only records it in conjunction with Aseres Yemei Tshuva. He doesn't say anything about Elul. The Rambam Sechos Tshuva, there's no Elul. For us, Elul, last Shabbos and Shul, when we bench for Chodesh Elul, so it means that the Tshuva season is beginning, is opening. And the Rambam Elul doesn't appear. There's no special hanhogas that a person is supposed to practice or implement during Chodesh Elul. There's a profound message and directive in the Rambam's silence. Great people communicate through what they say and through what they don't say. Rambam here is communicating something profound, a profound directive in his silence. And that is that Chodesh Elul, of course, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, 30 days before the Yom HaDin, a person can't be oblivious to the time of year. It's more challenging in the secular context in which we live, when it's sort of summer and Elul simultaneously, is different mindsets, different frames of mind. But of course the Rambam doesn't think that we're just continuing to coast and to cruise. But the absence of specific hanhogos during Chodesh Elul is actually a call to introduce change into our lives, which isn't short term. By saying slichas, if that's all we do, or if that's the emphasis and the focal point, so then come Rosh Hashanah, come Yom Kippurim, so then we then revert back, as of Yud Aleph Tishrei, to our same routine, to our same lives. what the Rambam, by not recording specific and special short-term hanhogas during Chodesh Elul, is telling us is that Chodesh Elul is a time to try to introduce permanent change. Chodesh Elul is a time not simply, obviously I don't mean to suggest that the Mechaber, that the Rambam would object to the Mechaber's practice of saying Slichos, nor do I mean to suggest that from the Mechaber that is the focal activity which should frame Chodesh Elul, but the point is that in not telling us intensify this for these 30 days or these 40 days, what the Rambam is communicating is that Chodesh Elul is a time to introduce permanent change into our lives, into our routines. Not just to introduce something which is an appropriate addendum, an appropriate addition for these 30 days, but no, maybe I should look and see what the place, we'll come back to this, if we have time, the place that Tikkun HaMidos has in my life, and during Chodesh Elul, not just introduce change that I'll budget time for during these 30 days, but to try to introduce permanent change. And the idea, again, is such a beautiful one and so instructive, that by not recording specific Chodesh Elul activities, what I'm saying is that Chodesh Elul is a time to introduce change, upgrade, improvement, enhancement in a way that will become integrated into my life, not just for the next 30 or 40 days. That's the type of change that we're looking to affect, that we're looking to introduce. And clearly, when the Mechaber tells us to say slichas, he doesn't mean it that slichas should distract us from this avoda that we're inferring from the Rambam's silence. And when you think about it, that the Ashkenazic custom of blowing shofar also is just to remind us to get with it and to be doing tshuva. But the tshuva should be something, again, which isn't just a short-term measure or short-term intensification for these upcoming 30, 40 days, but each one of us individually should be looking for areas of improvement where change can be introduced that will continue to reverberate beyond Rosh Hashanah, beyond Yom HaKippurim. But clearly, any tshuva program, any tshuva regimen has to be individualized. Everyone has to tailor it to his, to her situation, to who the individual is, what areas that he or she needs to improve. But that notwithstanding, there are certain general areas of concern and focus for all of us that are common denominators probably for virtually any tshuva, serious tshuva program or regimen, and maybe we'll try to touch upon a few of those in the next few minutes. We'll begin. I want to read you three different excerpts from the Rambam. Two of them are in Hilchos Tshuva. One from Hilchos Tumas Taras. And there's something staggering in each of them. The same phenomenon repeating itself. Begin in Paragimel of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam has his famous hint that he gleans within the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. So the Rambam writes as follows. We can't assign any absolute reason for a mitzvah. We can't say this is what Kavayochel motivated HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give this mitzvah. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended for us to achieve through this mitzvah. We can't speak in those terms, but nonetheless, Remez Yeshbo. We can uncover some of the religious experience which is associated with this mitzvah. And what is that remez of the mitzvah shofar? So the Rambam writes, Kolomar, that the message which the shofar communicates is Uru Yishen Mishen Aschem V'nirdomim Hakitzu Mitana Maschem. So those of you who are asleep, so awaken from your sleep, be aroused from your slumber, v'chipsu b'maasechem, scrutinize your actions, v'chizru b'tshuva, do tshuva, repent, v'zichu barachem, remember your Creator. Now to whom is this message of the shofar addressed, says the Rambam? Elu hashochechem eso emes b'havle hazman, v'shogim koshnosum behevel v'rik asher lo yoel v'lo yatzil. The message of the shofar is intended for those who forget truth amidst the transient, ephemeral futilities of life. V'shogim koshnosum, and their entire life, they're immersed behevel v'rik, with futility, with emptiness, asher lo yoel v'lo yatzil, which doesn't amount to anything, which doesn't yield anything. Habitu l'nafshasechem. Look to your core self. Look to your souls. Ha'hitivu darchechem u'malecha. Improve your ways. V'yaz, etc. That's passage number one. Passage number two, the context here is a little bit further in Parak Tes of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam's explaining how all the promises, the brachos, which the Torah promises in the event that we keep mitzvahs, v'nasati shalom ba'aretz, v'nasati gishmechem v'ita, the peace and prosperity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises. So what's the significance of this if ultimate Sachar v'onesh is in Olam Haba? So what's the significance of the stress which the Torah places on all the Olam Hazeh consequences of Im b'chukosai teilechu, so then v'nasati gishmechem b'itam, v'nasati shalom ba'oretz, and conversely, rachmano litzlan, v'im b'chukosai timasu, the klalos. So the Rambam explains that these are not intended, the brachos u'klalos, are not intended as ultimate socha v'onesh, but basically what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is this: if Klal Yisrael demonstrates their desire, their devotion to live a life of Torah mitzvahs, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll facilitate it for you. I'll give you optimal conditions to live such a life. But if Rachman Litzlan, Klal Yisrael, through their actions, send a message that's not what we're looking to do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so if that's the case, I'll see to it, Rachman Litzlan, that the situation in which you find yourselves, Taka doesn't allow for it. And there will be persecution, Rachman Litzlan, etc. Okay, so that's the idea the Rambam is expressing. Now listen, I'm just going to read you a couple of sentences. Hiftichonu b'Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees us in the Torah, she'im na'ase osa, right? If we'll implement the Torah, we'll fulfill its mitzvahs, b'simcha u'betovas nefesh, with a sense of simcha, v'nehege b'chochmasa tamid, and we'll immerse ourselves in Talmud Torah, she'yosia mimenu kol hadvarim hamonim osanu mila'ase osa. So he'll remove all impediments, such as sickness, war, famine, etc. Now comes the counterpoint, right? So the point is if we observe the Torah, if we implement the Torah, that's the point. And now it has its consequences, its corollaries. Now listen to what the counterpoint is. V'chein hu di'onu v'Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also informed us in the Torah, she'im nazov ha-Torah mida'as, if we knowingly, willfully leave Torah, v'nasov b'havle hazman, and we preoccupy ourselves with, again, that same phrase, with the transient futilities of Olam Hazeh, so then, Rahman al-Islam, that's when the klalos ensue. So what is it here in both of these Rambams that's so remarkable? Let's maybe we'll go in backward order. The second one, the one we just read. If I'm presenting to you a point and a counterpoint, and I say, if you do the mitzvahs and you learn Torah, so then bracha will ensue. So what's the antithesis of that? What's the antithesis of being mekayim mitzvahs? What's the antithesis of that? Not being mekayim, doing avodas, right? That's what the counterpoint. That's what the antithesis should be, right? If my point is that to explain that the Torah promises if you fulfill mitzvahs, then the brachos ensue. But if the opposite klalos ensue, so what's the opposite? The opposite of doing mitzvahs is doing avodas. But what did the Rambam say? So the Rambam said, again, the point is, if nasa osa v'simcha, so then brachos ensue. The counterpoint is not averos. The counterpoint to mitzvahs in the Rambam is nasa pahavle hazman. Go back again, we'll try to explain in a minute just the significance of this. Listen again to how the Rambam articulates what the wordless call and message of the shofar is. So he says again that we're supposed to awaken ourselves from our sleep, from our slumber. And then he says, to whom the chizru b'tshuva, right? It's a call to tshuva. So to whom is a call for tshuva issued? So if you would have asked me, so I would have said, you issue a call to tshuva to someone who's a baal averos, someone who's been guilty of averos, so to that person, you issue a call for tshuva. Now listen to how the Rambam actually said it. Again, the call of the sound of the shofar saying, chipsu b'masechem, chizvu b'tshuva, zichru barachem, and to whom is this addressed? Elu, he should have said, Elu rachman l'tzlan and mechalalei shavis, they don't daven, they're not careful about what they eat, they're not careful about how they speak. The Rambam says, Elu hashochechem esra emes bahavle hazman, v'shogim koshnosam behevel v'rek. People who forget truth, people who are distracted from the truth of life, and they squander their life, behevel v'rek. Rambam, he doesn't indict these people for averus. What the Rambam says is that the antithesis of a focus on Torah and mitzvahs is emptiness, is a focus on hevel v'rik, a focus on who's gonna win the football game on Sunday. The antithesis of zichru barachem, the call of chizru b'tshuva, is not being issued to someone who's eating treif, to someone who's being machal shabbos rachman l'tzlan, who's not observing taras ha-mishpacha. No, the call to tshuva is someone who's being shoge kol shnaso behevel v'rik, asher lo yodav lo yatzil. Someone whose life is just preoccupied with no redeeming ultimate goal, with the mundane, with what's transient. Someone who's looking to get rich, so he, she can have the money to indulge whatever whims or fancies they have. They're not stealing in business. They're not cheating in business necessarily. But they're just looking. They're busy. They're preoccupied with the Havlei Hazman. It's a remarkable thing. The antithesis of a life of Torah and mitzvahs, the core, the crux of that antithesis, it doesn't begin with Averus. It's just preoccupation with what's empty and shallow and meaningless. The antithesis of living a life devoted to Torah and mitzvahs, devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is all the emptiness of the physical and the mundane when it's not contextualized, when it's not linked to some, when it's not serving as a bridge to some higher goal and purpose. And in Perek Tes of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam said the same. The counterpoint, the opposite of Nasa Osa of Torah, the opposite, the Rambam said, is Lasa B'Havlei Hazman. And he says it again. When he recaps, Im avadetem es Hashem b'simcha, if you were oved Hashem, mashpia lachem habrachos. However, im azavtem es Hashem, so what does that mean? You did Averus, right? No. Ushagisem b'machol u'b'mishta uznus v'domelahem. And you became immersed in looking to eat and to drink and the Rambam doesn't mean that the food is treif. No, it can have the most reliable hashgachas in the world. So the first thing tshuva begins with, says the Rambam, before one even thinks about averos, is overall orientation in life. Is one oriented towards the spiritual? Is one oriented towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is one oriented towards Torah? Is one oriented towards Avodas Hashem? Or is one oriented to the empty, shallow, physical in all its diverse manifestations? You know, the society in which we live, the culture in which we live, is very much preoccupied with Havlei Hazman. In the secular world, so it's a very common, it's very commonly heard that the highlight of the year is the week or 2 weeks that people go on vacation. And as it were, the whole tachlis, the whole purpose of working all year long is to amass the money and the savings to be able to go to that resort or to go on to that cruise. We also think that a person needs to recharge batteries, a person needs to become rejuvenated. But there's a difference whether the tachlis of working is to be able to take a vacation, whether the tachlis of taking a vacation is to be able to work. And that's exactly what the Rambam is describing when he talks about Shochem Esoemes, Bahavle Hazman, Veshogim Kol Shnosom, Behevel Varik, Asher Lo Yoil, Velo Yatzil, Hevel Varik, futility and emptiness that isn't meaningful, that can't yield anything. It's a description of a lot of what surrounds us in terms of, again, just preoccupation with the mundane and the physical with no higher purpose or context, without anything, without any higher redemptive purpose or context. So that's the first thing that common area of concern and focus when we look to use Elul, not just to intensify for the next 30 or 40 days, but we look to try to upgrade our lives in a way that will continue Be'ezus Hashem beyond Rosh Hashanah, beyond Yom HaKippurim. The first thing is to look at what that overall orientation is. What life is about for us. What are we trying to accomplish in life? What are we trying to achieve in life? What are we preoccupied with in life? And sometimes it's not only what are we preoccupied with, but why are we preoccupied with it? You can have two people riding the same subway train, going to the same office, and putting in the same hours of work, and they can represent two very different things in terms of why they're preoccupied and what the ultimate goal is. The other place where we're now already, that we're sensitized to it, perhaps it will be easier for us to pick up on it. At the end of Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, so the Rambam describes a frightening progression that happens. So listen to what the Rambam describes, and again, with this idea, perhaps, in mind. V'zeh derech yeshivas haleitzim harishayim. The way, literally, I guess it translates, evil scoffers. A letz is someone who's cynical, someone who scoffs at everything. V'zeh derech yeshivas haleitzim harishayim. B'tchila, what do they do initially? And listen to this. Marbin b'divrei havai. They talk divrei havai. Not necessarily lashon hara. They didn't say they're talking lashon hara. And he's certainly not saying they're guilty of hotzor shemra. They're talking about nothing. They're talking about emptiness. Havai. It's emptiness. They're talking about that there's no substantive content, value, meaning to what they talk about. They talk about narishkeit. Nonsense. Foolishness. It has no... Ke'inyan shenema v'kol k'sil v'rov dvarim. The voice of a fool is heard. He just prattles without saying... He's not saying anything. He's not focused on anything worthwhile, on anything important, on anything meaningful. He's just chattering, prattling away about nothingness, about foolishness. Umitoch kach, says the Rambam, boy in the sape b'gnusa tzadikim. If a person is, if there's nothing of real substance in life and a person is so cynical and such a scoffer, so he obviously can't take it tzadik at face value. So obviously, someone who's really a tzaddik, in the eyes of this letz, in the eyes of this scoffer, so the guy's a hypocrite, he's a faker. So mitoch kach bon sapir v'gnus ha-tzaddikim, umitoch kach, and then this progression continues. Mitoch kach yeh lahen hergel, it will become habitual, l'dabe b'neviyim. Once life is empty and meaningless and shallow, so one not only casts aspersions on Chachamim, Rachmana Litzlan, it extends to Nevi'im as well. And ultimately, says the Rambam, Mitoch kach born the Dabe Ve'elokim, the Kofim Dikam. So how did this frightening progression begin? How did it unfold? Not with chait, with emptiness, with nothingness. Okay, maybe let's move to a second area of general concern. The Chayei Odom and the Mishnah Berurah, each at the beginning of their Sefer, quote from the Sefer HaChinuch, the list of the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidios. Most mitzvahs are more or less associated with certain times, even let's say Birkas HaMazon is not a mitzvah seseh shehazman groma, because a person can be obligated in Birkas HaMazon any time of day, any time of night, any day or night of the year, and a person has to have eaten, so it's, I can't bench right now. Most mitzvahs are not perennial mitzvahs, they're not 24/7 mitzvahs, but the Sefer HaChinuch lists that there are six. The mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the mitzvah of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the mitzvah of Yehi Lecha Elohim Achim Al Panai, to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to believe that there's one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not two, there's no multiplicity in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to believe in other independent sources of energy, of forces in the universe. Rather, everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yiras Hashem, Aras Hashem, those are the first five. And the sixth of the mitzvos tmidios, of those mitzvos which are operative 24/7, the Rambam says, the Sefer HaChinuch says, is lo sasur acharei levavchem. What does that mitzvah entail? So this is the Mishnah Berurah in Biur Halacha, quoting from the Sefer HaChinuch, who in turn is elaborating upon a Gemara in Maseches Brachos. V'omru chachamim acharei levavchem zo apikorsus. Lo sasu acharei levavchem. Again, the pasuk from the third parasha of Kriyishma that we say. U'bechlal apikorsus, who, not just sort of classical heresy, which is the way we ordinarily would probably translate that term, but u'bechlal apikorsus, who kol machshavos zoros sheim hepech das hatorah. Any foreign, alien thoughts which contradict the Torah's worldview, which contradict the Torah's point of view. The mitzvah of Lo Sasur Acharei Levavchem, again, the sixth of the perennial mitzvahs, is that Torah is supposed to mold our view, our hashkafas, rather than our projecting onto Torah, consciously or otherwise, hashkafas that we absorbed from elsewhere, and then trying to discover that in Torah, trying to remake Torah accordingly. We live, it's a blessing on the one hand, it's a very, very, very formidable challenge on the other hand. We live in a very, very open society. And in the United States, it's still overwhelmingly true that Jews that don't suffer, not yet anyway, Rahman Utslan, the from the scourge of anti-Semitism that's sweeping Europe, Rahman Utslan. And we're very much at home in the United States. And we're very much at home within American culture. All of which on one level is a very, very big bracha. Very big bracha. I think with Moshe Feinstein and others use the term, they refer to the American government as a malchus shel chesed. It's a government of chesed. And on that level, it's a tremendous bracha. We're free to go to day schools, go to yeshiva schools, and continue beyond high school. Things that in previous eras, elsewhere, our grandparents and great grandparents couldn't have dreamt about. So it's a tremendous bracha, but it's also a very, very formidable challenge. Because of that openness and because of the fact that we're so comfortable within Western society, within Western culture, the challenge to remain true to Lo Sasur Acharei Levavchem becomes a real challenge. It becomes something more formidable than it would be under other circumstances. There are many, many axioms in Western culture which are, again, sometimes entirely, sometimes partially antithetic to the Torah's axioms and the Torah's values. And Chodesh Elul is also a time where it's appropriate for us collectively, communally, and for each person individually to be looking and trying to discern, okay, this value that I take for granted, so where does that come from? It comes from that's what I was taught, because it's clear that that's what the Chumash is saying, it's clear that's what a Maim Chazal is saying, it's clear that that's what an oral tradition, a Torah Sheval Peh, has conveyed to us. Or, no, I'm not really sure where this assumption, where this axiom comes from. And I think I do see it in the Western world. I do see it in the American society that surrounds and envelops us. A lot of what people struggle with nowadays, the struggle is generated by absorbing through osmosis ideas, values, axioms, which don't come from the Torah, which come from the outside world, and in truth, sometimes entirely, sometimes partially, are simply not compatible with the Torah. Chodesh Elul is a good time to try to review what our axioms are, what our core assumptions are, what our core beliefs are. The propaganda that we're subjected to is extraordinary. Oh, it's extraordinary. Let's perhaps move to another general area of concern and focus. We read this past Shabbos in the Kriyas HaTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu communicates to Klal Yisrael, "Va'ato Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokech Shomeimach, Kiyam Liyiras Hashem Elokech." Va'ato, and now. What's the now? What's the context? And now. Someone's been speaking for a long time and says, and now I want to conclude. So the context of the and now is on the heels of the past 50 minutes of he's been speaking. Right? Va'ata always implies there's a certain context, that something which preceded, and now, va'ata yisrael ma'ashem l'kach shomel. So what is that prior context that the va'ata is referencing? Says Rashi, Afal pisha sisim kol zos. You were guilty of the cheta egel. You were guilty of the cheta meraglim, which the previous psukim have reviewed and referenced. Afal pisha sisim kol zos. Odenu rachamo v'chiboso alechem. His love, his compassion, still embraces you. Umikol masha chatosem lefanov, and everything, all the sins that you've been guilty of, notwithstanding, eino shol mikam kim liyira. The one thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking in response to chet is kiyum liyiras Hashem ulakacha. You should have yiras Shamayim. So according to Rashi, the Va'ato Yisrael is really addressing our question head on in terms of thinking about tshuva, thinking about what general areas of concern there are that we can discuss and reflect upon collectively. So it's Va'ato Yisrael, Mikol Mashafatasem. You know what? You know what? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That you should sustain, you should cultivate and sustain Yiras Shamayim. How do we sort of define the Yiras Shamayim that the Torah is talking about here in this context? So the Malbim writes some very beautiful words. Uladati Yirazo Perusha, or Pirshu Chazal, skipping two lines. A person who believes in individual divine providence, i.e., Shahasham Omed Olav Tomid Viro Bemasav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipresent and therefore always witnessing what we do. Yevosh me asos dovor neged mitzana. The person will be embarrassed, will be in a very healthy sense inhibited from contravening Ritzon Hashem. K'moshi yevosh odom lasos dova neged Ritzon HaMelech, the same way a person will be embarrassed, will be inhibited from doing something which contravenes the will of a king, Shehamelech Omed Allah Ritzovah B'Masa. The Lomit Ne Yiras HaOnesh. And this is not only simply that being afraid for one's neck, because of the accountability, because of the potential liability. Rak Mit Ne HaBusha Me Romemuso. If you think about it, if you've ever had the experience of being in the presence of someone great, a great person. So being in that person's presence, in that person's Dalet Amos, has an uplifting effect on a person. It's not that I think, it's not that I'm worried about, oh, what will he think about if I don't speak in a refined fashion? What will he think about if I don't conduct myself properly? Now, I'm not worried about, oh, he'll punish me, oh, he'll call me out on it and embarrass me. No, it's just being in the presence, having an awareness of being in the presence of greatness is something which uplifts a person, which makes a person live and conduct himself or herself according to a higher code of conduct than he or she would have otherwise. So if being in the presence of human greatness can have that effect, and it does. If you think about it, if you've ever been in the presence of such a person, so there are people who unfortunately don't speak in a refined way. Their normal way of expressing themselves includes nivul peh. And yet, if they feel they're in the presence of someone who's a very spiritual person, they won't speak that way. They'll censor themselves. Because not because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble, not because of a liability. We're not talking about Yiras HaOnesh. That has its place. It's very, very important. It's very fundamental. But that's not what we're talking about now. It's just the uplifting effect that the awareness that one is in the presence of greatness has on a person. And I'm sure many of you have met such people that, oh, no, excuse me, I didn't know, right, sometimes men will say, I'm sorry, I didn't realize there was a lady present when a man used a certain nivul peh. the same idea. It's not talking about yiras ha'onesh. We're not talking about a sense of liability. We're talking about that being, having an awareness of being in a certain presence can be uplifting. The liyiras Hashem Elokecha, says the Malbim, which according to Rashi, this is the response to chet. Chet ha'egel, chet ha'meraglim, we're talking about pretty serious infractions. The response is work on cultivating and sustaining this yiras Hashem Elokecha, a yira which according to the Malbim consists of what? Consists of being uplifted by a sustained awareness of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. U'kimosh HaKosav B'morah Nevuchim, the way the Rambam writes in the Morah, He'atiko HaRamor Ba'orah Chayim Reish Simen Aleph. The Rambam, towards the conclusion of the Morah, which the Rambam quotes, interestingly, at the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch, so that, again, this is translation, the Rambam wrote the Morah in Judeo-Arabic, but in translation, so the Rambam quotes the Pasuk, Shivisi Hashem Negdi Somet, Hu Kal Godol B'Torah B'Maidos HaTzadikah Ma'holchim Nefnei Elokim, is a fundamental principle in the life and the conduct and the ascent of tzaddikim who are over Hashem. Ki eino dome yeshiva sa'odim utzmu osav va'asaka, the way a person sits, the way a person moves, the way a person conducts his or her affairs, v'hu levadu bebeso, when he feels that, they can let their guard down because they're at home. So the way a person conducts himself or herself when they feel that they have that luxury of not being viewed, of not being seen, obviously is ki yeshivasu tnuosa v'ulufnei melech gadol. The way a person sits, if he's given a royal audience, so he's not gonna take his shoes off and put his shoes up on the coffee table, or put his shoes up on the coffee table without taking his shoes off. That's obviously not happening in the royal palace. Kol shekem sheyosim al libo shemalach malchayim lachem kadosh baruch hu omer alav v'roa b'masa. How much more so if we would only keep. If we would only be able to sustain an awareness that we're always in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the transformative, uplifting effect that would have, again, even without appealing to yiras ha'onesh, even without the concern for accountability and liability, but just the ennobling effect that being in the presence of greatness has. This is a big, big yisod, maybe the biggest yisod in living a life, in aspiring to live a life of Avodas Hashem, is to try to cultivate and sustain an awareness of always being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's something that requires effort. Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously is invisible, intangible. So we don't, in that sense, we don't have a visible, tangible focal point to help keep ourselves focused on that. But to work on cultivating and sustaining an awareness that we're never alone, we're never off camera, we're always in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that has such, if only we could be successful in that, that is something which is transformative, because it's something which is so uplifting, so ennobling. We're all on our best behavior when we feel that we're in the presence of greatness. It's a natural reaction. It just comes naturally. It's not something that a person has to go against the grain to try to do. The key in life is to try to have this sustained awareness of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. We're all exposed to different types of temptations. We all have different weaknesses within ourselves, within our character. But the truth is, whatever the temptation is, whatever one's individual Yetzirah is, whatever temptation is most alluring for any particular individual, some of us are born with being prone to anger, and some of us are born being prone to impatience, and one can rattle off a whole list of areas for character improvement. But whatever the weakness, whatever the temptation, whatever the allure is, if I had a sustained awareness that I was in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it could be that naturally I'm prone to anger, but when one is in the presence of greatness, it's ennobling. And one just conducts himself, herself, differently. And one doesn't succumb to the weakness, and one doesn't succumb to the temptation when one has that ennobling effect of being in the presence of greatness. But the kunz is to try to remember and to try to sustain that awareness. How is that awareness sustained practically? So how does one do it? So on one level, it simply means trying to actively engage our thoughts and think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shouldn't be the case that between Shachris and Mincha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't cross our minds. It shouldn't be the case that I'm so busy from the time I daven Shachris in the morning until I daven Mincha in the early or maybe even late afternoon, that just I don't have any thoughts about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it just means thinking. But then there's all kinds of behaviors as well that help instill and sustain this awareness. One of them is especially accentuated in its present for men and women, but is especially accentuated in women's Avodas Hashem. Tznius, Hatznei Aleches im Hashem Elokecha, is something which is not gender specific. Tznius is something which is a way of life, a modus vivendi, which men have to adopt as well. And yet, it's something which is especially accentuated in a woman's Avodas Hashem. What is it that's expressed through tznius? So we know some of its manifestations are in dress, but it certainly doesn't mean only dress. It's in general a whole way of conducting oneself, a whole mode of behavior, of living. It's It's not only dress. It is dress as well, but certainly not only dress. But what is it that is expressed through tzniyus? So there's a very cryptic and, at first glance, really strange Gemara in Maseches Brachos. Gemara tells a story that a certain person delivered a eulogy on someone who had just died. And he lauded the person, he described the person as being a tzonua. And the Gemara says, I think it was Rav Nachman, but I'm not sure. I may be confusing that. Accosted the saftan, the eulogizer afterwards, and says, how do you know whether that person was a tzonua? Did you ever spy on that person when he was in the bathroom, when he was in the beis hakisa? Very, very strange. And then the Gemara Taka quotes a brisa that says, no, that in Koren Sanua, you can only legitimately describe a person as being Sanua if the person conducts himself, herself, with tzvius, even in the beis hakisa. Even in the bathroom. How is that the standard, the measuring stick for tzniyus? So it's clear that what Chazal are telling us is the following. We erroneously think of tzniyus that a person is tzonua in the presence of other people. So, as a result, when other people are around, there's a certain reserve that a person adopts. Again, whether the reserve is just in terms of dress code, or in a broader sense, in terms of, again, the self-effacement with which a person lives. But we think of it as sort of a dynamic, interpersonal dynamic, you know, the machaveru. And what Chazal are telling us is, no, the ultimate test of tzniyus is when a person is not with other people, is alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because ultimately, what tzniyus expresses is not a sense of reserve, which being in the presence of other people engenders, but it's a sense of reserve which being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu engenders. And that's what the Rav Nachman accosted the Saftan and said, you want to know whether this person was Tzanua? So you have to see how this person conducted himself or herself when that person thought that he or she was alone, meaning alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the ultimate test of tzniyus, because what tzniyus ultimately expresses, again, is not reserve vis-a-vis other people. It's not an interpersonal, a ben odom lechavero dynamic. It's not just a dynamic between the genders. Of course, it does translate. It expresses it. But in terms of the core and what it emanates from, is that there's a sense of reserve being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what that seemingly strange Gemara in Maseches Brachos expresses. If a person is sitting alone at home on one's living room couch and dresses with a sense of refinement, acts with a sense of refinement, eats, drinks with a sense of refinement. No one's there. No one's there. There's no hidden cameras on the wall. The shades are all drawn. No one sees it. And the person conducts himself, herself, again, with a sense of refinement in all its guises, in every way that it should manifest itself. So that's the real test of tzniyus, because what tzniyus ultimately expresses, again, this, why am I reserved? Why am I not acting in an unrefined, ostentatious manner? Because in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't act in an unrefined, ostentatious manner. It's at odds with being in the presence of Hashem Yisroel. So what tzniyus, again, the driving underlying force of tzniyus is it expresses that awareness. It objectifies, it gives objective expression to that awareness of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once we understand what is the underlying driving force of tzniyus, so that means that every time we conduct ourselves accordingly, it's now a two-way street. It also serves to remind us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I now remember that the reason I have to eat or drink in a refined manner, even if no one's watching me, is because someone is watching me. And it's irrelevant whether anyone else is around. It's irrelevant how I should be acting in the privacy of my living room. It's irrelevant whether anyone else is around, because the tzniyus is an expression of tzniyus, hatznei aleches im Hashem Elokecha. So then that means that every habit of tzniyus which I have serves as a reminder for me of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm careful to talk a certain way, to move a certain way, to act with a certain sense of refinement, to dress appropriately. Every such instance now serves as a powerful reminder of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps one last general area, and the Atta will stop. Tikkun HaMidos requires a concerted effort. Character improvement, character refinement, isn't something that certainly not to the degree that it should happen, just happens on its own. Okay, some things come with maturity, and some things do happen with age. That is true. But fundamental change and improvement in terms of our midos is something which requires concerted effort. There is an absolutely remarkable teaching of Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital is the Behei HaYediyah, with a definite article, the disciple of the Arizal, who committed so much of the Arizal's Torah to writing. So Reb Chaim Vital comments on something which is seemingly very anomalous. You find Ma'amori Chazal such as Kol HaKoreis Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah. You find Ma'amori Chazal about Gaiva. Says Reb Chaim Vital, okay, now let's look through the Tariq Mitzvahs. Let's look through Shulchan Aruch. So where's the Isser in the Torah about getting angry? Kol HaKoreis is Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. It's Kol Minei Gehenim Sholtin Bo. There should be a lav in the Torah, Lo Techas. There's no such phrase in the Torah. And the same for Hakina, Ataiva, Vakovod, Motzina, Sa'odim, and Ola. So where's it saying in the Torah? Don't be a Baal Taiva. So maybe just to give a moshel, to introduce what Chaim Vital says with a moshel. But let's say you pick up the catalog of a medical school, and you start looking through the catalog, and you see that there's no intro to biology, no intro to chemistry, not to biochemistry. So what's the inference to be drawn? I guess the inference to be drawn is that biology and chemistry are totally irrelevant to going to medical school and becoming a doctor. Well, no, maybe the correct inference is the exact opposite, that it's so basic, that it's so fundamental, that you don't get into medical school, and you have no reason to be perusing the medical school catalog unless you've already shown proficiency and mastery in these areas. Reb Chaim Vital says the reason there are no mitzvahs which deal with midos is because midos is the foundation upon which all mitzvahs and which all of Torah is built. And the reason there's no isser in the Torah about getting angry, and the reason there's no isser in the Torah about being a bal gadol, and the reason there's no isser in the Torah about being a bal taiva, is because all of these things are so fundamental. It's, again, he doesn't give this moshel, but it's the analog to biology and chemistry in medical school. It's so basic, it's so elementary, that it's the foundation on which everything else is built. And he goes on to say, and it's, I apologize for not being able to read you his actual words, I didn't bring it, I'm sorry, that because of that, he says, flaws in midos are worse than averus. Again, what's the moshel? Let's say you have a 50-story building, 10, 20, however tall the building is. And let's say there's a crack in the facade on the top floor. Well, let's say there's a crack in the foundation. So obviously, the more serious problem is going to be the crack in the foundation than the crack in the facade on the top floor. That's self-contained. It is what it is. It's a problem. It needs to be rectified, but it is what it is. But the crack in the foundation is what holds everything else up. Sometimes one gets the impression that, you know, the same way physical growth stops at a certain age, 14, 16, 18, at whatever age we stop growing physically, sometimes we have a self-imposed cap or age at which emotional and personal growth also ends. It's accepted that the children need to be, again, working on midos, and that parenting involves helping them work on their midos and providing them with guidance and cultivating. But I don't know how many of us attained perfection by the time we got our high school diploma. I can't even remember how many years it's been since I got my high school diploma, and Tikkun HaMidos, in terms of identifying what my flaws are, what character flaws do I have, what traits do I have that are weak, that are wrong, and that I need to work on, and how do I work on that, is something that should be a part of a person's life throughout the entire course of his life. There's a quote from the Vilna Gaon that all of life is for Tikkun HaMidos. Again, in the world around us, so there's a notion that you can correct a child, but if someone corrects us, we're already adults, so we sort of bristle. Who are you to tell me what to be doing? And it's that kind of mindset which stunts personal growth. And another area maybe to reflect upon during Chodesh Elul is what role, what place Tikkun HaMidos occupies in my life. How much time do I spend reflecting on it, and do I have a plan and an approach to try to implement it? Thank you all very much for coming, and I hope you should... I'll be zocha to a very, very productive and uplifting Chodesh Elul and Aser Simchat Tshuva. I give you your Aser Simchat Tshuva.
Thank you.